Ian Hutchinson from Golf News Now joins us. Ian, how are you?
Good, Jason. I was getting a little concerned that we may not have a winner when I came on to talk to you, so I'm glad we at least got that squared away.
Yeah, when the rain came around, I'm sure people were like, please don't delay it again. But, man, it sure, despite being a day late, I can't recall there being, you know, that many guys on the leaderboard so late in the tournament going shot for shot.
Well, really, when you even look back at the beginning of the day, you know, I mean, that was such a crowded leaderboard. So many stories up there, too. I mean, you had an amateur sitting there, could have become the first since Bobby Jones in 1930 to do it. Yeah, you had, of course, you had the Spieth Slam, you know, still a big possibility. And you also had even a guy like Louis Oosthuizen, who was the last guy to win it at St. Andrews in 2010. So a lot of storylines up there. And the funny thing is, probably the quietest, sneakiest guy out there and probably one of the nicest guys on the PGA Tour ends up winning it.
And Zach Johnson today, really, from start to finish, was the best player on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would argue that Mark Leishman over the last two rounds was probably the best guy out there. Of course, they both ended up shooting a 66, but, you know, Leishman, you know, had a bit of a bad luck coming down the stretch, but, you know, or in the playoff. And, you know, so it was a very entertaining Open Championship. And, you know, I think one of the things that we got to talk about here, too, is if you don't mind, is the fact that a lot of people talked about St. Andrews kind of getting, you know, not quite enough for today's bombers and not quite being up to the challenge of being the Open Championship. I think it showed today that it definitely is.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Everybody, long isn't necessarily better all the time. Right, I think you look at it. You've got to be accurate in all of it, and there's nothing wrong. Like when the conditions change, guys could score, and then all of a sudden the wind picks up, and now suddenly you know those guys were having to club up two or three clubs.
Well, and if you look at it, you know, really, when it came down to it, Jason Spieth, for example, what was it that killed Jason Spieth? It was that on that 18th hole where, you know, he had probably about 100 yards into the green, and he couldn't get it done. So basically it was a short game, and Jordan Spieth is known for his short game. And that's what hurt him on 18. That's why he didn't get into the playoff.
Yeah, and you know what, for Jordan Spieth, it was it's kind of unique. The guy's won two majors and was that close. And I really think, obviously that double bogey on number eight is the one that's gonna haunt him. And that, you even saw, you know, he kind of yelled at himself at that moment. But, you know, he came back right away, boom, boom, birdie, birdie. And he's always seemed, and he's very young so far, but when he does make a mistake, usually he rebounds right afterwards. And the 18th was actually, I think, only the second time all tournament that if he bogeyed, he didn't birdie the next hole.
I'll tell you what, we are in for such a golden era, I think, anyway. Looking at, you know, I mean, the one guy who wasn't there was Rory McIlroy this time around, obviously because of injury. But, you know, when you look at somebody like Jordan Spieth against Rory McIlroy, and then you figure in guys like Ricky Fowler and Jason Day, for example, he was right in it to the end. You know, some real young guys out there. And, you know, for years we've talked about what's the PGA Tour going to do without Tiger. We're starting to find out what's happening, you know, because we've got some really good guys coming up, and this could be a real golden era for golf.
Well, definitely will be competitive, which is fine. I don't know if a sport, it's nice to have superstars, but I don't think, like at times in golf, they relied so much on Tiger that the minute he struggled, everyone was like, oh, where's golf going? I think it's, you know, if Jordan Spieth wins a major every year, you know, and that's great, but they need Rory McIlroy, you know, they need Spieth, maybe these amateur kids coming out who are great today, maybe they all turn pro in the next few years, and you have a crop of them and you have some competition, because when you go back to Jack Nicklaus and Trevino, like they used to compete against one another. Sure. And Ian, I'm sure, you know, you watch that era, you felt like that makes it more entertaining.
Who do you think of when you think of the big three? I mean, obviously you're talking Arnold Palmer, you're talking Jack Nicklaus, and you're talking Gary Player, you know, who all overlap one another. And, you know, that's what I think we got coming now is and, you know, and all these guys are basically roughly the same age. There's only a few years between them all. You know, even when you look at the amateur who is up there, Dunn, you know, he's only 22, for example. You know, you look at these young guys who are developing who we haven't really heard that much about. You know, we heard, you remember a few years ago at the U.S. Open, you saw Bo Hostler, for example. He was a good, outstanding young guy. Even if you look at some of our Canadians, I'm not predicting majors for them or anything, but, you know, if you look at people like Adam Svensson out of Surrey, B.C., for example, You know, he's going great guns. Corey Connors out of Little Ontario. You know, these are all guys who are really starting to come into their own. Albin Choi out of Toronto. You know, these are guys who, from a Canadian perspective anyway, are looking to be PGA Tour players in a few years. And, you know, I think they're starting to show that, you know, they are for real, you know, as far as being tour players go. Again, you know, you don't want to put too many expectations on them as far as talking majors go. But definitely they could be very good PGA Tour players.
Well, yeah, you know what? There's a crop of them. And you mentioned Zach Johnson, one of the nicer guys on tour. And, you know, he wins another major for him and really well deserving of that major. Now you move ahead looking to the PGA Championship. And I guess before I get to that, I do want to talk about two kind of collapses today. Adam Scott in the last five holes had four bogeys, one of them a double bogey. And Dustin Johnson, the worst third and fourth rounds ever in the history of the British Open for the guy who led after 36 holes. What happened to Johnson's game?
I still think that Dustin Johnson, you got to look at him as being, you know, here's a guy who had two very different halves to the British Open. You know, he started very strong, looked unbeatable there for a while, you know, when the weather was bad and he seemed to be conquering it all and just it didn't seem to be phasing him. And like you say, in the last half of the Open, the last two rounds, He just fell apart again. I still think, though, if you look at somebody like, you know, and I know what you said about Adam Scott, for example. You know, he's got a bit of deja vu happening now when you consider what happened back in 2012 when he had a four-shot lead. And he came in, he bogeyed his final holes and gave it to Ernie Els to win. You know, and everyone figured, you know what, Adam Scott's going to be a disaster now. He's going to collapse. His whole career is going to, you know, they were talking such a cloud over Adam Scott when that happened. Yet Adam Scott came back the next year and won the Masters. You know, so I hesitate very much in writing off Dustin Johnson, even though he did have a bad finish to the British Open. We all know what happened at the U.S. Open when he had basically handed that to Jordan Spieth. So, you know, I just have a trouble with a guy in his early 30s, you know, just saying that he'll never be back and he'll never have a chance again. I think he's putting himself in that position. Hey, you know what? Kudos to him for getting back into that position, you know, even at the halfway point of the British Open, you know. So as long as he keeps trying, sooner or later, that thing's got to come along for him. So, you know, let's see what happens. Let's not write off Dustin Johnson just yet. And, again, let's not certainly write off Adam Scott.
No. But I was just like, it's unique today. Like, Adam Scott, he was charging so hard, and then the wheels just fell right off in those last five holes. It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, that's major golf for you. You know, it's just going to happen. And, you know, he was, you know, I think what will people remember? It'll always be the bad things, you know, the things that happened right at the end. You know, but you put yourself in that position, right, and then you take your chances. That's what happens sometimes. You know, you fall apart, and you know. But at least now, compared to where he was in 2012, at least he's got one major under his belt, and you know, let's see what comes up again. But certainly, you know, you just got to keep putting yourself in that position, as both Adam Scott and Dustin Johnson at one point did.
I appreciate your time very much, Ian. Enjoy it. We look forward to the next few weeks, and I'm sure the PGA Championship, now everybody will be hoping this is as competitive as the final day of the British Open.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because that, too, is on a links course, so we'll see what happens on that one. You know, that links golf can turn up and bite anybody, you know, as we saw today. So Whistling Straits should be fun to watch. And as you know, Dustin Johnson, that's where he made his first snafu in a major championship, where he thought a waste bunker was actually a bunker, or a waste area was a bunker was a waste area. He screwed that up, took a penalty, and ended up being out of a playoff for the PGA Championship back then. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to want revenge on that golf course.